Thank you, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Got a couple places I want to go this morning. And got a strong leading on something I want to share with you. One of the things that God tells Israel is on one mountain, he pronounces blessings. On the other mountain, he pronounces curses. The two mountains that vary are one's curses and one's blessings. And if you look at the monologue or the what God's saying, he talks about, you know, if you do this, blessed will you be here, blessed will you be there. And all of it really, it speaks about obedience. And the curses mountain, evil, it's like if you don't do this, this will happen and this will happen and this will happen. The word curses is an interesting word because many times we think magic, right? The shaman cursed the guy and his hand withered up, and you know what I mean? And we see a lot of scary movies and the word has a magical meaning. But there's a supernatural aspect to speaking about it, and the sermon is not about curses, but I want to just share a little bit on this today. But what happens is that word really means to bring low. So if you hear the word curse, you're talking about a Hebrew word and a Greek word that it means to bring down, to bring low. And the word blessing has the tonality of it really means to lift up, to high, make high. And what I want to just briefly touch on, I think about, you know, Ephesians 6:12, it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, and, you know, spiritual wickedness in high places. And something I want to speak into you a little bit is, something you have to understand is this. The way the devil works is he loves to work generation to generation. It is no coincidence that you'll watch any family, mine, yours, and you'll see many times something go through the fiber of the men, something go through the women, a particular sin, and it'll just, one will be like the other, and the other will be like the other. And the thing that struck my mind is that really Jesus is the buck stopper, but we have to understand that there is a lot of demonic forces that come. And that's why, you know, I mean, even in my house, there's a particular sins that run through my family. Absolutely. In fact, without Jesus, I was running in the same direction that the sin was running. It was like a current, and you could tap into it. But God wants to lift the curses. God wants to stop the demonic influence on one generation from passing to the next generation. And Jesus is the buck stopper. Jesus is what's going to come. And the Spirit of God is the only thing that stops the spirit of the enemy. We can't beat the devil in our flesh and blood. We can't beat him by human willpower. And just something I sensed really strong is what happens is the enemy moves into families down lineage lines, and he'll wreck four generations if he can. He'll have the same sin come up in every generation if he can. If it doesn't stop, if the blood of Jesus doesn't truly break that curse will just keep moving on, moving on, moving on. And I think it's really critical because I believe there gets to be a lot of demonic stuff that interplays through families. And it takes us, and tries to take our sons, it tries to take our daughters, and our daughters, and their daughters, and their daughters. Satan loves imprinting that in the personality and the character of people. I say this more prophetically, that there's a lot of things that are coming against you that are not natural. There is a lot of things that are hitting your spirit. It isn't just your weakness. It isn't just some kind of tendency you wish you could get over. I really sense this from the Lord strong, so I want to be bold about it. But there is stuff that is passed down, that is passed around, that Jesus wants to break it. Break it. Bondage is not something we settle for. Bondage is not something that God wants to keep going through the lines. I've seen families that had a religious spirit, and the sons and the daughters are religious and hard-hearted, and the daughters and on are hard-hearted. One of the things in my family was real obvious was witchcraft, drug abuse. My grandfather on my mom's side, all kinds of stuff. And it just goes down to every kid. and takes effect in every kid. Do you think it's a coincidence? You can get effect many times. In fact, even in national statistics, they'll say, you know, the children of parents of this tend to do this and this and this. And I'm not saying this to be cosmic or far out to you, but I want to encourage you that the buck stopper is Jesus. The buck stopper is the Spirit of the Lord. But I also want to say, be very careful and understand your life and understand that the devil comes at your life. But the devil's not necessarily a devil of new twist. He's a devil of familiarity. He works with what works. He doesn't change it up a lot because he doesn't need to. I want to even take this a little farther. I had a guy come and preach years ago, and the title of his sermon was Hobo Hash Marks. And when he first started, I thought, this is weird, okay. And he started speaking, but what he said was Holy Spirit and it was powerful. I so wanted to do that back when I was singing. And he said in their town, if there's a home that is friendly to, say, a bum, and he wants food or he wants money, something, they will go to a house, and if there's a house that is good for that, where you go up the door, I'm needy, I need, can I get $5 for bus fare, you know, the old gamut. And if the person says, yes, let me help you, in fact, I'll give you a 20, they go to the curb, and they take a stone, and there's a little marking, they call it a hobo hash mark, they actually mark the curb out in front of the house. Because when they mark the curb, other hobos come by, they see the mark, they know that's a vulnerability of that house, and then they go up and bake too. Devils are actually very similar. Demonic spirits are very similar. Did you ever hear of a person that has a sin even committed against them? And they can move to another state and the same sin will happen. And they'll move to another state and the same sin will happen. And a lot of one of the things that the devil does as well is when we live our lives, we have what I call a hobo hash mark. Now, a lot of people can say, oh, we're in Christ, and we are. But it doesn't mean that hash mark in the old man isn't still seen. And the animal will come with the same thing. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, it'll come with the same thing. But I felt this really strong, that God wants to break curses. God wants to stop lineal damage. God wants to stop that sin that has been passed down, that demonic entity that just works in a family. He wants to stop it. You need to demand it. You need to believe it, seriously. Now, some people go, I can't think of anything that plagues me. That could be possible. Absolutely. But I say this because, again, even in my own life, I found myself renouncing things because I knew they ran in the family lineage. I knew that the tendencies, I knew them in myself. I knew them from what I learned. In fact, it's kind of funny. Even a demonic kind of curse on our life isn't real cosmic because it's a little more simple than some kind of spell. It's not a spell. You get somebody that's caught up in a sin. You get somebody that's caught up in a particular iniquity, and there will be accompanying demonic spirits with that iniquity. And that's like three-dimensional. That's an influence. That's not just a human thing. It's demonic. And then they'll bring up somebody right under them. Same spirit is working in the mom or father, works down to the son. And then that kid becomes the father and works down to the next son. And that demon spirit, that actually thing, that comes on your life, and that's heavy stuff. And it works from generation to generation. And I've seen whole family lineages, three generations, hit by the same sin. And many times I would see the buck stop. Jesus would save them. But the problem with sometimes we get saved and we think, you know, it's all good and I'm saved and I'll watch the same sin still being prevalent in the Christian. And that is totally not God. God wants to absolutely come and break the line. He wants to, that spirit that's been working down the lines, he wants to absolutely shatter it. He wants to cast it away. The generation stops here. Many times we don't even realize, whether you're a teenager, a young adult, an older adult, and we go through this stuff and we come into temptations, and really they're much the same of what was hitting our parents and hitting our parents' parents. And it might look a little differently, but God wants to break that line. But there's only going to be a way to break that is through the power of the Spirit. It's going to be through listening to the Lord and His Word. And it's also understanding that there's just been a demonic curse against my family. Now this may sound really far out to you, but so many times we see this. I knew a person that had something committed against them, and no matter where they went, even in other states, they would be approached with the same sin. Not even familiar. And it comes right back to that hobo hash mark. And just as I move forward, we're going to actually be in Romans today, but I want you to think about that. What is the mark in your life? What are the tendencies? What's come before you? What has Satan been doing? What is he trying to do? What does he want to do? What does he want to continue to do? What has he done in your forefathers? What's kind of come down? For my family, on my father's side, there was a lot of witchcraft. There was a lot of witchcraft. There was a lot of seance and tarot readings, a lot of stuff. And then on my mother's side, there was a whole other lineage of iniquity, because these weren't a bunch of Christians. These were a bunch of Catholics, and some of them were not anything. And I know the Lord came to me and said, you need to denounce that particular sin with your mouth. You need to denounce it. Don't just say, I'm not going to think about it. Go away, go away, go away. The Lord said, you need to verbally and out loud denounce it and come against it in the name of Jesus. Because, Mike, that is not just simply a tendency or a trend. That is demonic. It's been on this family for 1,000 years. But that's kind of that hobo hash mark thing. You know, it's interesting. I saw, like I said, I knew a young person really hurt a lot. And they went to places and they had the same sin committed against them no matter where they went. Exact same sin. Exact same thing. Exact same crime. And their life was bound by devils. And those spirits and that hobo hash mark that was put on their spirit, they'd go somewhere and demons could see it clearly. Just like the hobos leave the mark. Demonic entities leave two trails. They do that, and they also leave psychological trails. Because when we walk in iniquity, we get into a particular sin, our mind kind of gets into that. But I'm just saying this strong. God wants to break it. It is not God's will not only that it be broken, it's God's will to give us victory. It's God's will to help us recognize. Many people will not ever recognize that there's a tendency or a demonic trend. They will never even name it. And yet it's very real, and it affects a lot of people. You know, as much as the Lord has a plan for your life, the enemy also has a plan for your life. And as much as the Lord has really amazing plans, the enemy at all stops will try to stop this plan. He wants the will of God to be null and void in your life, and he wants to do it literally. Now, he doesn't care if it doesn't take a lot to do it, a little, and if he has to get you into sin or distraction or whatever. But we have an active God, we have an active devil. And I want you to know that. That's why when we read Ephesians, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's really critical. Really critical. When I was, I do some, part-time work, and I work with these guys. And, the guy will be an alcoholic, and his dad will be an alcoholic. And his son will be the alcoholic. And then I'll meet one of their wives who they beat. And actually, her mother had tolerated a man that beat her. And her mother had tolerated a man that beat her. And it just keeps passing down. It only stops when we say, you know what? Enough. I'm in Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk in obedience. I'm going to stop this. And when you come to grips with these kind of things they're working against you, it gives you a better, really, position to fight from. It's funny how we don't like to talk about darkness, but darkness comes at us, and we many times don't even want to acknowledge that there's been something going on. And I've seen systems where the males in a family will be a certain way, the females will be a certain way, and it's passing down, man. It didn't just start there, it passed down. I've seen so many things like this, and I just felt this morning that you're liberated. Christ has set you free in the blood, but he wants you to be smart, and he wants you to understand how that works. The influence even of family members. You know, my brothers were dopers. My oldest brother was a doper. He was my hero. I thought Eddie was the coolest guy. I thought Eddie was, if you talked about my brother, I would come at you. Because Eddie was cool. He was my bro. He was shooting dope. He was smoking dope. He had naked chicks around the house. As far as I was concerned, Eddie was the man I wanted to be. And I'll be gosh darn, I was 18 years old. And we had a syringe, and I was, they call it backlashing, pulling some blood in the vein to see if I had to hit a vein when I'm plunging. And my brother came in and said, oh, God, Mike, what are you doing, man? And I looked at him, I said, you got no right to talk. I learned all this stuff from you, man. Shut up. Get out. And my brother said, you're right, and walked out of the room. But even this stuff, when we start coming out of it, we start realizing that, man, this has been running in the family, and spirit of rebellion, spirit of witchcraft. And we really need to take this stuff head on, because if you're not talking about it, if you're not realizing it when it does hit, and sometimes this is not all the time. Sometimes this is seasonal, but we got to get a grip, because if you can't talk about it, you're not naming it. If you're not naming it, you're not really being that conscious of it. Sometimes we hope a generational kind of curse just changes. We don't talk a lot about it. We just want to do better. But you got to understand, some of this stuff is programming, big time. It's being put into you. It's being going to be put into them. It's going to spread around. But God wants to end that. God's not into that. Jesus is not into that. And I do thank God that when I got saved, that he said, I'm going to break the curse on Mike's life, because Mike is heading this way and he's moving right along family lines perfectly. Perfectly. I'm going to break that. And then when I got saved, I could see the Lord saying, number one, he has no sense of himself. And he just thinks because he became a Christian, it's like an automatic. He doesn't need to acknowledge any of this. He's just going to walk straight. And actually, I didn't. And many sins came against me that were a part of that lineage. And I too would suffer certain things at the hands of people. And certain stuff would come at me no matter where I went. But that was, it was the old man. It was demonic. It was something I needed to acknowledge. You know, I just had the Lord come to me last year, even this year, and said, I want you to renounce and denounce this right here. And he named something. And he said, I need you to denounce it. I said, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a minister. He said, it doesn't matter. That's been coming at your life your entire life. And whether you've obeyed it or not, that's not what I'm saying. You're not walking, but it doesn't matter. You still need to renounce this. You still need to denounce this. You just need to say it with your mouth. This has been, he said, this has been in your family line for generations. He didn't say generation. He said generations. I thought, interesting. Interesting. But God sets you free, and you need to understand something. You're not bound to a ball and a chain. The Lord really wants to do an amazing work. I think one of the most beautiful things is to see a Christian, and they're saved, and God really works in their heart, and he breaks that line. That thing they were going to walk in, he's changed it now. And they're free, and they're walking free. They're no longer bound. They're no longer up against it. Now, Romans 8:10, I want to give you what I believe to be really the crux also as we're walking in the Spirit, because you can't break, you know, demonic spirit stuff unless you're walking in the Holy Spirit. And this isn't a matter just of willpower. We need the power of God in our lives. We desperately need that. One more thing I was thinking too, you know, I've seen this as a pastor so many times. So many times, people in our mind, we're trying to come to the conclusion of whether we're like totally walk with God, kind of walk with God. And what we don't realize, many people, even in American churches, they're having that conversation. But the difference isn't whether I'll be an intense Christian or less of a Christian. The actual difference in the scripture is, am I going to go to hell or not? Because God doesn't have like levels of commitment. He wants you surrendered. Many Christians are playing around with darkness and sin and kind of, can I play a little bit? And they don't even actually realize that what they're actually doing is rejecting the covenant of the blood of Jesus. That's a heavy thing. Yet in their mind, it's just levels of intensity and how many times can I tap the wall before I get pain on my fingers? And many times the difference is not that I can do this. There's something bigger going on. So I would pray that you could speak with wisdom into other people too, because sometimes I've met people and like talk to them, and even when I was, you know, doing the work I do sometimes, I run into people who have like been in church years ago, and you talk to them and they're hellbound. They think they're a weak Christian. They're not a Christian anymore. You can see it. Their words, their life, they'd serve themselves. That's a scary thing, is it not? If I'm pondering a decision that whether I'm going to be super Christian or kind of Christian, but God says that's actually the difference between a Christian or being hellbound. It's a very different ballgame we play in our mind. And that's, again, where the deception of the enemy comes. He loves to blur those lines. People can't stand God. They have no heart for God, and yet somehow, oh, I'm Christian, which means a little Christ. It's really heavy, because I think we have to be heads up with a lot of this stuff. Otherwise, what happens is we begin to not see clearly. Romans 8:10 is one of the easiest ones. We've read this before. It says, Romans 8:10, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now, what Paul is saying to the Romans in this, in verse 10, that the body's dead because of sin, and what it means is our body is dying. It's the punishment of sin on the body. We're aging, and we're actually going to die. Now, the promise of God is new bodies or glorified bodies, and we're going to live eternally. But he's giving the picture of you as a Christian. Your body is dead already because of sin, and because of that, you are aging. I am aging. There are things that don't work as good that used to work really good. Things are different. So Paul says, if Christ is in you, because he's trying to help them to understand, Christ came in me, but I didn't become 27 again. I didn't get a glorified body yet. I'm in Jesus. And he's kind of saying, because the body is dead because of sin, yet the, you know, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. And then he goes on, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Holy Spirit who dwells in you. I've pondered this a lot because my body's not, it's dead because of sin and that it's aging. Remember, in fact, when God said to Adam and Eve, if you eat of the tree, you will surely die. What did that mean, guys? It meant that when if they would do that, the body would age and now it's going to die. Otherwise, you could live forever. So what Paul's getting into, I read this and I thought, so the Spirit of God is in me, the one that raised Jesus from the dead. So it's the what it's saying is there's an equivalent power, the same Spirit. He's able to raise the dead, heal the leper. He can do anything in me, and he's in me. So the promise is there, and this is really critical. And the first time I read it, I thought, but why do you give life to my mortal body? I'm breathing. My heart is beating. I don't need life. Not resurrection life. But then as I began to put verses together, and obviously I've read some different commentaries, and I began to realize that my body, my heart's beating and I'm alive, yet the curse of sin is on me. I'm aging. I am going to pass someday, and then God is going to give us a renewed body. Thank God for that. But at the same breath, there was a current right now, a life that is in me. And I started to realize that the life I live as a Christian is a life that is powered by the Holy Spirit. So it isn't just a matter, I'm just forgiven, or my sins have been forgiven, and I'm kind of renewed, and I'll go to heaven someday. But there's a supernatural power when I was born again that comes into my body that wishes to live a whole nother life through me. It's different than my life used to be. It's supernatural. I say this because many people reduce their Christianity to being moral. And it bothers me because I would pray you're moral, but I would pray also that you're living a supernatural life. I would pray that's the one that overcomes. That's the one that breaks the curse. That's the one that right now is in my system. Sometimes in your life, that spirit, you'll feel it. Like I can preach and start prophetically speaking, and I it's the Spirit of God, and it's a tremendous energy in my system. And it's a tremendous life, and it's not physical, it's not caffeine, it's divine. So the same Spirit, I realized life to my mortal bodies, but then I thought about it, and I thought, one time I was praying, you know, like, I want to understand this more, because this is, listen, we read this all the time, but it's one thing to read it and go hallelujah, another thing to read it and say, I want to not only understand it, I want this. I want to know the divine life that is soaring through my body, that is going through my blood. I want to know the resurrection power today. I don't need it tomorrow. I need it today. I don't need it when I die and get raised up. Yes, it will work then, but I need that now. I want to walk in that. You know, it's interesting. The way the Spirit of God exerts through your body, many of you have seen this kind of life. It'll raise up. God may give you a scripture. You'll reach to others. God may tell you to pray for somebody, and that life, it rises in you, and you do something according to what that life is stretching out to do. But I also thought about, I need to be dead to self. Because if I'm alive, so to speak, and full of myself, resurrection power really has no bearing. But I realized that as I'm dead to self and alive to God, the more I am, I'm going to see the need for resurrection power. But when we're full of our own life, our own desires, whatever, we follow our own commands, we do what we want, we're still full of ourselves, even though we may be a Christian. And that's one of the problems when we're Christians. If we're selfish, if we grab a lot, we are not going to know the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. It just becomes word on a paper that's hard to translate. We go, I don't know. I don't feel that way. I feel very human. I feel very limited. I'm very carnal. I'm very bound up. And it goes really right back to this thing to, you know, power is surrender. Power is death. Remember Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. And there's both a future tense of that promise and there's a now tense of that promise. The Spirit of God is in me and it is in you. And it wants to, it's got this life it wants to live through you. It's not always sensational. I'm not telling you tomorrow you'll go find a dead guy in the morgue and raise him. You may. I'm not telling you that you will float on air, but I got to tell you something. One of the words the Lord's been bringing to me is tell the body about their rights. Tell the body about what I've actually done in them. Tell people to quit settling. for limitations that I never intended them. I never intended my people to not be empowered. I never intended my people to be bound. That's not my will. But it says the same spirit that is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who raised from the dead, gives life to my mortal body. And that speaks even in the Greek, in the current tense. So right now, today, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, the Spirit of God is in me. And He is there to walk. He is there to talk. He is there to actually exert life in me and through me in this world. Now people go, are you talking an attitude adjustment? No, I'm not. But I'm talking about a supernatural activity that is 24/7. Because when we really look at it, we're sons and daughters of God. Jesus was never no less Jesus in the night and then in the morning. Jesus never was Jesus when He ministered on the mountain, but He was kind of just a man when He went down from the mountain. And we're sons and daughters of God. And many times I've told you that Jesus came to live a life that actually we could. And a lot of people don't, many times we miss this point. When I think about the old bracelet, WWJD, remember, what would Jesus do? And it's okay, and I think I wore one a little bit, but I think the reality is, as this divine life is in me and the Spirit of God is upon me, Jesus is in me, and I'm a son of God, so I'm walking through my life as Jesus walks through my life, and Jesus is in this earth through His people, and we are touching people, and we are praying for people, and we have life inside of ourselves. The life-giving God's Spirit is given to act out. You make peace. I've had people say, I don't feel that at all. I read it, but I don't sense it at all. I've never seen anything spectacular in my life. And my answer is pretty much the same. I actually don't care what you feel. He did it. And then you've got to find out, you know, where that applies and how, meaning it's always on you. The Spirit of God's always in you. The resurrection power is always there. But I will say this, I really believe when I die to self, I really believe life comes through, because I really felt the Lord one morning, and I read this verse, and He said, I don't need to raise living men, I can only raise the corpse. So if you're dead to yourself, my power takes over. But if you're full of yourself, the resurrection power doesn't apply, because you're still clinging to your old life, you're still clinging to your old ways. You're still full of yourself, Mike. You need to die. You die, I raise you up. You don't die, there's nobody to raise up. You can't raise up a living person. I can't put hands on Josh this morning and say, you know, walk out of the grave, Josh, because he's not in the grave and he's fully alive. And if he stood up and I go, I raised him from the dead, you'd say, no, you didn't. He's alive. You didn't raise him from the dead. In the same way, when the Spirit of God comes upon us, we definitely need to say, not my will, but yours. And we need to say, die to self. I want to die to self. And this is really important, because I want you to enjoy what it is to be empowered by the resurrection power of the Son of God. You know, the Spirit of God wants to come through you to pray. He wants to come through you to witness. He wants to come through you in so many ways. And kind of what I was talking about, when the Spirit comes into our life, when I talked about curses and demonic attacks, the spirit of the devil can never contend with the Spirit of God. That's a slam dunk. That's a fight that's over before it starts. God's Spirit wants to act out through you and me and give us the Christian life. And I don't want to settle. And I think it's really critical that we don't settle. I think Christians sometimes settle. Well, you know, here I am. Not much about me that's special, and I can't do a lot, and I'm very limited, and I understand that's just how it is. But and yet the Lord would say, you know what? The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So that's simply not true. Now, your perspective, your unbelief can bring that about. There's a lot of ways that we expect less even from the gate. I've seen people go to pray for people, and me and a friend were talking about this, that even as they're going to pray, they're already saying, well, if God doesn't move, He's still good. Can you imagine when God says He requires faith, requires it, there's no ifs, ands, or buts, when even when I'm going to cast a prayer, I'm already rehearsing the unbelief before I even pray. Could you imagine that? How does that work? How will we get ahead? We need to see ourselves how God sees us, and we need to understand the power that is in us. I'll never forget, me and Anna were married probably a month, and I got up in the morning at 4:30 because I started work at 6. I wanted to read the scripture. I wanted to pray a little bit. And I heard this guy preaching, and he said, you know, the word in the Greek for being filled with the Holy Spirit is to be refilled. Because many times Pentecostals, like, yeah, I spoke in tongues, 1942, and, you know, I've been filled then. And this teacher was teaching, and he was right. And I said, Father, fresh filled me today, and I'll never forget, my entire body started shaking. And the Spirit of God rose up in me, and it surprised me. And yet to that point, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1976, and I'd spoken in tongues, and I was this, and I was, you know what I mean? Whatever manifestation you had to say, the Spirit was there. And it was funny, because here I am, I'm 24 years old. I got saved when I was 15, and here I am, as far as I was concerned, I was filled. This preacher really shows the Word, and he just reveals something the Scripture says to be refilled instead of filled. He says, we're leaky vessels. We need a retouch of the Holy Spirit. And it's funny, I take it to the Lord that first morning, and my body literally started shaking. And I started stammering at the lips, and it was incredible. But yet there's over a 10-year span between that and that. And what I didn't know hurt me, because I didn't even realize that we need to be renewed in our mind, renewed in our body, renewed by the Spirit of the Lord. And all the way until then, I got this thing many years ago, and it's all good. And what I didn't know was hurting me. It absolutely was affecting me. And all of a sudden, somebody opens the Word, and I say, I see a light. And I ask God, and He comes right away. And the first thing I'm thinking is, oh my gosh, all these years, I didn't even know that existed. And God touched my spirit. Life gives you spirit to your mortal bodies, but I want to think about, when you really think about living and acting out, I want you to think about Jesus, not yourself in a more powerful version. I want you to think about the Son of God and when He walked around the earth. I had a prayer when I was a young believer, and I didn't understand why, and I said, I'd read about Jesus, you know, and how He'd do something. I'm not just, a lot of people go right to the miracles. And no, I wanted different stuff. And I would read about the woman at the well. Remember, Jesus sits down and He's talking to the Syrophoenician woman. And He's really talking about spiritual water, right? And it's funny. He's like, go bring your husband. You know, I have no husband. And then Jesus is like, oh, you say rightly that I have no husband, for you've had, what is it, 5, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. Now, I didn't want, like, Jesus, give me power to reveal the closet so I could embarrass. But I want to be able to speak like that. Because you got to the core of the problem with the woman at the well. She thirsted. She thirsted and kept going through guys looking to fill a thirst that only Jesus could bring, that only the Spirit of God could bring. And I wanted to live a life. I remember early on, I was always fascinated with Jesus' ministry. And like I said, many people go, oh yeah, like you mean how He raised the dead. That was like the last thing. I'll be totally honest, even the beginning of just saying, look at the situation He's in. Look how He turns it. God speaks to the woman. God reveals that she's empty and she thirsts, and she's filling it with guys. Guys won't do the trick. She needs the water of God. And then the brother comes up wanting justice. Remember, Lord, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus looks at him and He starts teaching the crowd, be on your guard against every form of greed. He just called the guy that got ripped off by his brother greedy. But the thing is, that was actually the core issue. The fact that that man was wronged by his brother wasn't the biggest problem that man had. That man was captured by greed. And Jesus cut the poop. He went right through it, and He gets right to it. And it staggered me when I saw that. I'm like, I want that. Many Christians will say, all right, well, let's pray, and I want you to, you know, forgive your brother, and we're going to, we'll see what legal avenues, because what's yours is yours, and Jesus doesn't even deal with this problem. Now, I want to say something to help you understand that story a little better. Rabbis decided legal matters all the time. Rabbis were rabbis, and they were also adjudicators and lawyers. Now, don't start any Jewish lawyer jokes. It's not intended right now. But the fact of the matter is, that was the Spirit of God speaking to the common man, revealing what was really going on. And I saw it displayed in a daughter of God. My wife and me were counseling a woman, and her husband was horrible. He was horrible. I actually had no doubt her husband was horrible. And what a bad, unfaithful guy he was. And Anna said, you got to quit meeting the guy at the bar. And I'm just dying. She's a new member at the church. This is not the way we grow new life. Pray for her. Pray that she has endurance. Pray that she, you know, you'll strike her husband or make him nice or do something. You know what I mean? And as I'm just crawling in my skin. I couldn't believe Anna did it. I'm crawling. And the girl goes, but I like him. That was Jesus. That was the Spirit in her that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, acting out as a daughter of God. Speaking in the way that Jesus speaks. Dealing with people in the way that Jesus deals. And I saw it. I saw it with my eyes. And it blew my mind. It was great. Peter comes up and says, I will follow you, Lord, even if all to be abandoned you. And Jesus is like, really? Before the cock crows thrice, you will deny me multiple times. So when I talk about the Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwelling in you, I'm actually talking about the possibilities of Jesus walking around in this earth from each of us. But again, what you don't expect, you'll never get. And what you don't believe, you'll never have. And what you don't think you're worthy of, you will never obtain it. Because let's be honest, faith is the whole key here, understanding what he's did. And yet, lastly, I named Lazarus. And then it's funny, I want to be like Jesus. I want that Spirit of God to speak through me. They say, Jesus, Lazarus is dead. He said, no, he's asleep. Let's go that we may wake him. What are you talking about? He's dead. He's not asleep. That's the kind of cutting-edge stuff that the Spirit of God that dwells in you right now, this moment, wants to do. That's the kind of people we actually are. Now, we can talk about what we settle to be or we'll settle for, but the Scripture tells us what we truly are and what we need to act out from. Now, that doesn't mean that flesh doesn't kill that, that compromise doesn't kill that. Let's be totally honest about something. If your prayers aren't moving you, they're not moving God. Seriously. And it says that we must have faith. We can't be double-minded. So if I'm going to say, you know, I've seen people say, you know, I want to pray for the sick. Well, then when you're walking up to them, believe they're going to be healed. And then if they don't get healed, still walk up to the next person believing they're going to be healed. Don't start rehearsing, like making excuses for God. Well, I'm going to go pray for him, but I know that's not going to come true. Nobody's going to get touched. Trust me. Not like that. And this is something we need to understand. Now, there's a downside to this because the Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Here's something that can happen. Because these are benefits that Jesus did in these different situations, but let's be honest. There was a detriment. Sometimes people hated Jesus because he was Jesus, because he was God's Son. Sometimes people will hate you. They will persecute you. They will make up lies about you because you're God's Son. But you can't have the one without the other always, and it doesn't do this. And I asked myself, Jesus, you're giving life to my mortal body. Now, I was talking to somebody. I have different physical things I deal with, no doubt about it. I have disadvantages that many of you sitting normal, you don't have. Seriously. I suffer from all kinds of muscle weakness. I'm demyelinating. I get what they call perikinesis. It's sides go numb. You could actually stick a needle in my side. I wouldn't even feel it. My legs aren't always as steady. So in my life, I'm like, Father, I need resurrection power just to function. And he's done that. Absolutely. Now, sometimes his hand comes off of it, and I can feel what's going on. But, you know, for me, even just doing what I do, there's a part of it that's gone. I said, I like to stay above gravity. And I had a Christian. He said, what do you mean by defying gravity? I said, well, in my life, I've got some things that are supposed to be a certain way, and the power of God has kept them at bay, and those certain things don't happen. And I'm able to do things that possibly in the norm I wouldn't be able to do. Now you say, well, that sounds selfish because you're just talking about functioning. And well, not really, because as I live as a believer. As you live as a believer. So the ability to live is not necessarily a selfish thing. It's the ability to minister for Jesus, the ability to do stuff that God would have me do. This is really critical because a lot of Christians, they believe they're forgiven. They really do. And they have no problem with these verses. None of us have a problem when we're reading Romans 8. It's a very encouraging scripture. But here's the weird thing. I cannot expect a lot. I cannot expect a lot. And I'll never say I don't expect a lot. The weird thing about all of us, myself included, is I can disbelieve all over the place and never state I don't believe. I'll just live it out. I can not think that the Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is dwelling in me to be manifested in any particular way. I will never say it. I might feel it. I'll live accordingly. Think about this for a second. Many times what you do is what you believe. Think about this. Many times we display in our actions exactly what we feel about certain things. Imagine if somebody said, there's a book that the creator of the universe actually wrote. It's one of a kind. There's no two like it. But the creator actually wrote it. The one who made your molecules, people would be tearing it up if they believed that all the time. What if you said, when you pray in the name of Jesus, God is not only hearing you, he's in you. people be running to prayer altars. What a privilege to talk to the Creator and to have him talk back. And see, this is part of the what I was telling you about the devil. He comes to numb you. He comes to change your perspective. He comes to virtually make you blind because he knows God's given you sight. He knows you can already see. He knows your senses have already been perked up for the Spirit of God. I think about verse 12 says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." I love this says, Mike, because I don't know about you, but I could be a man of bad temperament. And I could feel very obligated to my temper. Because when it hits, I'm going to humor it. You know how this goes. But the funny thing is, it says, I'm not obligated to that. I don't owe that nothing. I don't owe bad temperament anything. I don't owe the man I used to be obedience. I don't owe the old cravings anything. I don't owe them. I don't have to listen to them. I'm not obligated. And this is really critical. But I love it. It says, putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The only way I'm going to put to death, a lot of us, we think Catholic when we read this verse, that putting the deeds of the death is to deny myself those deeds. I agree with you 50%, but let me give you the other half. The only way to really put to death the deeds of my flesh is to have deeds of the Spirit. See, a lot of people get into denial without resurrection power living. It doesn't work. If you're simply sitting there denying, trying to deny the urge, the Spirit of God actually wants to live out the opposite of that thing. And that's an actual Holy Spirit manifestation. Not just simple denial. Not just simple deprivation. Not just simply, I got to stay away from that. Yes, you got to stay away from that. But you, to stand in a place of to deny without walking forth and living, I will never get past that. Because there's a new life in the Spirit that wants to come out. I put the deeds of the flesh to death by life in the Spirit. That's why it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now think about this for a minute. We're almost done. Many times when people talk about being led by the Spirit, they'll say, yeah, I got into the situation, and I said, Father, lead me. I don't have a problem, but there's a problem that I will make you know. It is true that when I'm in a situation, I'll say, Holy Spirit, lead me. But what I forget is that the Spirit is in me 24/7. Being led by the Spirit is living. It's not, I come to this fork, and now I need you, Spirit. When I'm in the Spirit, I'm led by the Spirit, it's my life. A lot of people, we can part-time God to where like, well, I'm just doing this and I don't need the Spirit's guidance for this. I don't need the Spirit's guidance. I know how to do this. And this isn't a spiritual thing. And what we don't understand is the Holy Spirit is always upon us as Christians. He's never not with us. And the Holy Spirit, literally, his way of leading is our life, not just an incident. We can package God into neat little compartments, but the problem with that, we kind of go, I'm having a hard time with this, Lord, help me. God wants to lead you more. He really does. The Spirit of God wants to lead you more. He's always there. What about if you would acknowledge and you get up in the morning and say, I want to be led by your Spirit today because you are with me when I awake, you are with me when I lie down, you are with me every time. So Father, Holy Spirit, I'm acknowledging you dwell in me, and I'm acknowledging that I want to be led by you. You know, people go, that sounds religious. You just, what, pray that every day? Why not? And the reason I say why not is simple. Think about this for a minute. When you don't acknowledge something, you're not going to be very mindful of it. Let's be honest. When I live and I don't acknowledge things, your mind kind of takes you out of it. I can think of times to where I've been so busy, I'm not acknowledging the Lord. I'm just tired and I'm aggravated in a day. And then finally a time comes and you realize, I haven't acknowledged you all day, God, because I've been hung up in this what I call secular work. There's really no such thing. And the Spirit of God will deal with me and it's like, oh, Father, you were there the whole time. Boy, I needed to acknowledge you this morning. I needed to acknowledge you at 10:35. I need to acknowledge you at 12:35. I need you to go before me and I need you to lead me all day. My pastor used to say that the word secular job is wrong. He said, you know, the problem with that being is when you say that, you're actually in a way kind of saying, there's an area that there's no need for the Spirit of God, and there really isn't. I'll do this on my own. I have the skills. And I think about it, and you know, when I do some work with a brother of mine down in St. Louis, he's a believer. And we'll be talking things of the Spirit, even if he's in the lift truck and I'm down, we'll be bouncing back and forth the Word of God. We'll be bouncing back and forth revelation. It's a powerful experience. So we definitely don't have a secular job that day. We have a place where we come together in fellowship as we're doing a particular function. And I want you to know this, that God is for you. And not only is he for you, he wants to lead you. You know, I think about a couple of things too. When we talked about being Jesus, Jesus said, what did he say? My need is to do the will of him who sent me. Could you imagine being filled by doing something that God has called you to do? I've had that. I've actually had duties for the ministry to where I didn't think about eating till 5 at night. I didn't eat all day because I was doing the will of my Father, and that was a meat. And then you realize, I forgot to eat. Now, anybody that knows me, obviously, I eat plenty, and I've eaten too much. But the fact of the matter is, you think about being a son and daughter of God today, where you could say, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And then another thing, a son says, I can only do what I see my Father doing. So if the Father's not doing it, you're not doing it. But if he's doing it, you're going to follow him. And it's like shadow boxing. You're going to follow the Father. As we close, I think about that last verse in verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. This is really cool. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. You know, I don't realize it. And all of us will pray. We'll say, Father God. I do that. I don't know about you guys. Father God, I pray now. Or Heavenly Father, I pray. According to the scripture, when you do that, that is a supernatural manifestation that you belong to Jesus. Now, see, punk people say, hey, you could be a devil and say that. Yes, you can, of course. But when we Christians say, Father, that's the Spirit of God is actually, believe it or not, manifesting right there. And it is testifying to our spirits that we are children of God. And last but not least, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I got to be honest with you. I used to read the verse, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good things. And I didn't translate it because the good that it does means that all things are working together to shape you into that daughter of God, son of God you're meant to be. Now, with that said, it doesn't mean all things will be viewed as good that happened. But it works for the good of changing me, for the good of transforming me. If I close with one thought or two thoughts, I would just say this today that I think is really critical for all of you right now, for myself included. We need to expect more of God because he's made us more. We need to understand that the Spirit of God is in us. And quite frankly, the devil knows that he can't compete with that. He knows it. He knows right now, if you step up and you stand up, he knows you're going to hurt him bad. He knows if you realize your inheritance, he's in trouble. He knows that if you really have the resurrection power working, that he's going to have to deal with Jesus all over again. Do you understand that when we Christians go forth in the Spirit of God and we minister and we live out our faith, do you understand that Jesus has to watch the Son of God walking the earth all over again, times 10 million? You know, when Satan, you know he had a hand when they killed him and they crucified him. Satan's rage overpowered his wisdom because he didn't understand it. You know, Barbara, he didn't get it. He understood who he was, but he didn't understand what would happen if he died and went to the Father, that sons and daughters of God would be birthed all over the world. He didn't understand that when he eliminated the one Son of God, that a trillion sons of God and daughters of God would be risen up and they would walk the earth. He knows it now, actually. That's why you have persecution. That's why martyrdom. When Satan figured that out, that's why he came for the church. I could just see him pulling his hair out like, you know, this guy was trouble. I knew him before. I knew him before the foundation of the world. I kill him, and now I'm seeing him pop up in people called Christians all over the place. And that was problematic for the devil. I want you to also think about this in closing. You are a son or daughter of God. If you don't think you can affect your surroundings, you're dead wrong. Seriously. Sometimes stuff comes against us, and we believe we're subject to it. We really do. We say, there's no way I can do this here. I can't, and I got to tell you something. If you really get it in your spirit and start understanding it, you can have a profound effect. Now, I'm going to say this. Sometimes people don't like Jesus coming home. Sometimes they don't like Jesus dealing. Sometimes they don't like Jesus and what he stands for. I get that. But you can radically alter things. Because you know what the devil does? I remember when my mom became a Christian. My dad doesn't exactly care for Christianity, especially then. Didn't. He would try to drag her down, you know what I mean? And he'd do, you know, say a lot of stuff. And he tried to drag her down, and he would try to get her to believe that she was not only no different, she was what she always had been, and that he didn't want to hear any of her garbage, and he would just drag her down where she'd be so discouraged, where she just is like, and she would say it a lot, you're bringing me down, you're bringing me down, you just bring me down. And I was really young in the Lord back in those days, and I wish I could have been a more help to her, but the thing was just to explain to Mom, you're daughter of God. If you'll step up, the Spirit of God will step up. And let me tell you something, nothing can compete with that. Now, it may flee, it may go, that's all right. Because we really want that, don't we? At the end of the day, we want to be who we are because it's really critical to our lives. And I want to pray right now, and I so want to encourage you guys, again, of who you are. I want you to start understanding it because I believe we're heading into a time in this earth where it is trisome, isn't it? But it's funny. I remember this person coming at me, and I remember rebuking them in the name of Jesus. And they were actually coming at me, and I'd rebuke a particular spirit, and they literally would stumble backwards, and then another one would arise, and I went through this for about 20 minutes. And after I rebuked about 14 spirits, and it was a lot of spirits, finally the person just sat there. And I was walking out, and they said, don't leave, I might kill myself. And, you know, you see somebody so bound by demonic spirits. You see somebody so bound in the earth and the devil hating the people of God. And I found that interesting because they wanted to smack me. But when I was all said and done, they were threatening to harm themselves because they couldn't harm me. And that stuff turns inward and you get a lot of problems. Well, let's ask God for supernatural solutions. And we're going to close right now. Let's ask Him for supernatural solutions. If you accept less, you will get less. Trust me on that. You might go, how do I apply all this? God's in you right now. He wants to manifest. Trust me. I want to say something. Don't let people dictate the atmosphere in your world. Don't do that. Don't let fleshly people with all their hardness and they don't give a poop and they're disengaged. I don't care who they are. Don't let people drag you down. Don't let people take a son or daughter of God and try to turn it into an ordinary man or woman because that's not right. Seriously, don't let people do that. Because they will if they can, and they'll always do it if they can. But stand up, rise, and do what you need to do. Father, we speak right now, and we say Father, and that says it's a manifestation. That when I say Father, it shows that I'm your child. Every person I know in this room cries out, Father. That's the first step of faith, where they realize they're your daughter, they're your son. No ifs, no buts about it. They are who they are because your blood paid and made it. Father, we need to see that unbelief is it's dangerous. The enemy would come and have us to believe far less of ourselves than what you've done in us. He would have us, as it says in the Psalms, behold, you are sons of God, but you will die like men. That's exactly what he wants. When Israel got into the wilderness, they were sons and daughters, and they died like men. The possibility, they had seen the sea part, the firstborn of Egypt, that slain. And they ended up idolatry, immorality. They ended up coming short of their sonship. And many just died in the wilderness like mere men. Yet they were your kids. I pray for this time in the earth that we are, and that resurrection power that dwells in me. Lord, I hit a lot of bumps, and I can't speak for everybody in the room, but I think it's relative. That I need to know that the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is dwelling in me, but I need to understand it better, because otherwise, Lord, we feel defeated, we feel overrun, it's just not true, and we need to step up. Father, we surrender this morning, and there's something about surrendering that opens the floodgates for the Spirit. Father, I am a guy that likes to know that I can control, that I can save myself, that I can do things. I'm a striver. I've always been a striver, and yet that is not pleasing in your sight. It's when we let go and let you that something miraculous happens, when we quit trying to do it on our own steam and we say, Holy Spirit, I don't want a natural life. I want a supernaturally powered life. I don't want to live in the margin of just being, you know, Joe Schmo and no power. I pray today that we would more and more see that resurrection power in our lives, that we would overcome. That, Lord, I pray this morning for hobo hash marks. Father, as long as I've been a pastor and a Christian, I've watched how this stuff works. And Father, absolutely, I believe every believer in this room, we are the buck stoppers. And then our offspring can enjoy the Spirit of God. They can enjoy a freedom where that hash mark is done away with, where the sins of the fathers, we stop it from passing down anymore, where the new generation brings hope, brings promise. Father, help us to understand even this morning that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The enemy is an adversary. He is a lion. He seeks to devour us. He doesn't devour non-believers. He's already got them. He tries to devour Christians. He tries to devour our life. We need to be heads up in this era as we live. I pray even this morning. Lord, I've seen you rise in the people in this room, and I pray for an increase in the name of Jesus, for an increase in that resurrection power to move in our situations, that we would overcome that resurrection power to move in our circumstances and absolutely not just brush the devil back, but severely and wound him. That we will not be subject to the spirits that are on other people's lives, because we're not. We're technically able to be free. Let us walk in it. I pray against generational curses that try to bring our family lines down. I look at the death and destruction in both sides of my family. And yet I do see Jesus. People got saved. Certain bucks stopped at certain places. We are hungry for that today. We want to see our children's children walking in the salvation of the Lord, walking in the power of the Spirit. We want to see our generations forward with a new diecast, with a new pattern, that they're no longer bound to the old, that we might denounce God, that we might recognize those things that seem to work. Lord, time and time again, I'll hear people talk and say, my mom was like this, or my dad was like this, and I didn't want to be like this. And I've said that myself. It's very relative. Well, that's good news, Lord, as we know you. Once we even acknowledge certain things, we're going to find change. We're going to find power of the Spirit. Once we say, hey, enough is enough, the buck stops here. Help us this morning, Father. We need that light. Sometimes, Lord, I used to think you needed to change this particular thing in my situation. But first, I needed life, meaning I'm not bound. My situation doesn't bind me. My situation isn't going to dictate whether I have the peace of God, the joy of God, or the power of God. My circumstances are not who I am. My challenges do not really name me. They may grow me. So I pray today, Holy Spirit, we want that always in our life. I pray that you would keep our hearts tender, and if they're hard, break them open that you might pour into them. Touch us, Lord. We need real-time solutions. Lord, people come into church and they have burdens. They have things that are weighing them down. They have questions that they've been begging you for answers. And you're the God that answers. You're the God that breaks it for us. You're the God that tears the situation and makes a new one. You're the Father that has authority over all things. Every devil, every demon, every trial, every force of nature, you are more powerful than. Lord, as we go this week, and I know I got to have surgery Tuesday, I just pray right now. Holy Spirit, affect us today. Our bodies, our minds, our spirit. Holy Spirit, as we go home, some will eat lunch. Many will eat lunch. It's lunchtime. Bless them. Pour upon them. But I pray, speak to them. Speak to our hearts as we go in today and tomorrow. Lord, sometimes you give me words for our members, and I'll see things, and you speak things to me to remind them of, and I thank you for that. And I pray you would also, just everyone here, speak to their hearts. Thunder in their lives that they know you're there, that you desire. You desire life for them. You desire not just mundane existence, far more. You desire a life of resurrection power. Move us today. Break our religious tendencies, Lord. I know I've got them. Break my pride. Break my pride. It needs to be broken desperately. break our will when necessary, especially when it works against your will. We don't need it. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let your blessings upon us today. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Blessings, everybody.